Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey y'all, I'm Moni and you're mixing with Moni, okay? Welcome to my weekly mixer where I take your favorite Bravo shows, TV news, and hot topics, mix it with my opinions and some of my friends' opinions, a little shade, and sometimes a cocktail or two. I'm bringing in my POC perspective to shows we all love. Let's mix it up. Hello, 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 all you beautiful and wonderful mixologists out there. It is your girl, Moni, and you are listening to Mixing with Moni, okay? And that is the voice and the sound and the tone of a very just overwhelmed, exhausted, defeated person who just finished this week's Black Shabbat over with the Housewives of New York. And at the request, or at the suggestion, rather, of one Bravo OMG, you should take a shot after watching it. I did do that. And you want to know something? It has really calmed me down. We'll see how this goes. Only one, but I truly don't drink anymore. So we won't get into what other coping mechanisms I use for the anxiety that I experience every day. But instead, I did take a shot today and we'll see how this goes. It's going to be a fun episode because I could not ask anybody else to break down the madness that I just experienced watching New York and Beverly Hills, but none other than one. Oh, no, Bravo, literally the unofficial, official, but official co-host of Mixing with Moni. I'm so happy to have you back here, fresh off of your own podcast adventure called I Am the Cute One with Donnie, and over at The Dip. Thank y'all for finally giving my girl some light. What's it like being a podcaster? Do you love it? Do you want to just hang it up? Or do you think we're all mad? What?
So you know that you are the, first of all, hi mixologist. Thanks for having me back. Hey. I have officially conquered my goal of becoming the unofficial, official, but official co-host of Mixing with Moni. I am loving being a podcaster. You know, you have been a champion in my corner from day one. You have been incessantly bothering me to get behind a mic for real and do it. So I have to thank you for that because you gave me the confidence boost to go for it. But it's been really fun, and Donnie's the best co-host to have besides you, of course, Moni. So it's been a really fun journey, and The Dip is just blowing up. So it's really fun to be a part of their
team. Yeah, I love that other people on The Dip, like y'all, go and support them. I'm not sponsored by them at all. I just have a lot of friends who happen to be over there. Kaya from Bravo Wild Black, Sam, are also repeat offender on the podcast from Bravo Historian. Other people that y'all might like. Was that shady? I don't know. Who cares? Anyways.
Well, and not shady. Steven just got a podcast over there. And
Faces by Bravo. We absolutely love Steven. So if you process of eliminating anybody else, I don't know what to tell you. It's Tequila is doing numbers already.
Is going to do something bad to both of us.
Listen, just one shot, people, and I'm already like, let's get shady, let's get petty. Oh, you don't even want to know the multiple hour conversation I had today with some very, very important insiders regarding some OC and New Jersey tea. Like, we'll talk offline, or I'll probably end up spilling some things. Who knows? Let's see what happens.
So, I'm going to speak to the listeners right now and say, Moni, why don't you just pour yourself another shot? Let's see what happens. Let's see what ends up on the podcast with just one more tequila shot. Just one more.
And they famously know I don't listen back to all of it. And it's not because I'm lazy. I mean, it is. But it's also not because I don't want to edit. It's because I truly hate the sound of my own voice. Why I got into podcasting, I don't know. I felt like I needed to opine. Maybe I had a Ramona moment. Or like, I have thoughts and opinions. And apparently I get in trouble for them. It's like, what? Saying you were discriminated against in college. Okay. No, we'll get there. But wait, I feel like we actually have to start with New York because that is what we're both fresh off of. Mm-hmm. Why we chose to watch that last, I don't know. But now I feel like we should just talk about it first so yeah. that we can get to the meat and potatoes. Though, like, both episodes, I'm not going to lie, both episodes were so chaotic this week that they naturally are like, wait, what? And if you're wondering, like, why we're not talking about Potomac, I already talked about Potomac with Amanda from It's All Happening on Sunday, because it happened to all line up to the same around a time that it took me to record this. So, and that's already out. So that you can go and catch up with now. But we must start with New York, and we can do the easy stuff first. We're doing a little dabble into Leah's conversion. She's trying to study Hebrew. She thinks that it sounds good when people who say it know what they're talking about, which relatable, understand. Mm-hmm. Learning any language, you're like, ooh, this is not how it's supposed to sound. It sounded different when you said it. And some sounds that she thinks that, you know, she has to make aren't very feminine to her, so she's like trying to struggle through them. And she calls Ebony, and I guess this is to like hinge us up, get us all geared up for Black Shabbat. And we must address the elephant in the room that everyone's asked me about. Part of the reason I need to take the shot, because I thought the Black Shabbat was fun, and then I remembered the big plague of the environment, like the big cloud over everything, was Ebony did not invite Brashan to Black Shabbat. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know your thoughts on why you think that is. I'll give my thoughts. We'll see if I'm Ramona about it or not. I don't know.
Yeah. So I literally just finished this episode. I was playing a fun game with myself all day called How Much Longer Can I Prolong This? Because I had seen the general outcry about this episode on the interwebs. And I was like, oh God, I'm doing this for Mani. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this for the mixologists. Like no part of me wanted to experience this Curb Your Enthusiasm adjacent program that I watched. Like my butthole is sore from clenching throughout that dinner. But I think just doesn't like Brashan. I think that she doesn't want to film with her. I think that she has that, you know, one season wonder energy about her. I do think she's going to go past this single season, but that first season housewife energy of like, I'm full-time and you're not, so I get to dictate who comes to my events. Now, it did seem like this was more Archie's event and it was supposed to be shedding light on her Jubalong message and into like I really think that the loser in all of this was Archie and her and this message that she was trying to have, like she was gonna, and the Roni women are famous for this. Like I just think of that poor woman who was trying to
Brighty
event. Yes, that Dorinda is like interrupting her speech and Ramona is interrupting her speech. It's like, good God, these women just need to shut the fuck up.
That's it. That's the one right there. It's just, what did Sonya, I'm tempted. If I wasn't absolutely sure that it would like make me so uncomfortable to name this episode this, I was tempted to name it Shut Up Shiksa, because it was truly the only thing that like got me through the entire thing. But no, I agree with everything you're saying. And I think that people really want me to touch on Ebony excluding Brashan because they want me to say things like there is a crab in a barrel probably mentality, which is something that, you know, people have heard of this phrase, but it is very prolific in the Black community of like, it's a, I won't say it's a myth, but it is a thought process that some people in the community have that, you know, there are people who believe that we all can't get out in the same time. Like all of us, if one is down, will all pull you down. So if you try to get out, the crab, a female crab who tries to get out, they pull them down. So it's like, we're all in this together. We're burning, honey, you're burning too. Or like, we don't want to see anyone succeed past us. So people want to believe that. And I guess in some respects I can see it. Ebony might think there's only room for one at the table. She might absolutely be like, you know what? I want to be the housewife here. And Bershawn comes in and she's the, I hate to say it, but she's like the kind of quote unquote black woman, like black castmate that like Ramona probably could get behind, because she came in saying, you know, I don't see color. I don't see race. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to do anything about it. And Ramona's like, sign me up. Where do I get in with that? She's like, just wants to have fun, just wants to drink. And to a lot of viewers, that is probably the kind of black woman they would get behind, versus Ebony is really preachy and she probably didn't want Bershawn to upstage her in that regard. But I also think it could just be that, you know, like I always say, black people are not monolithic. She don't like her. Look at Potomac. You could just not like her. You could just simply be like, I don't like you, just because we're the two black women in the room doesn't mean want to be friends. Like, I do try to find the other black person in the room most times. And there are times I'm like, I don't think you're a nice person and I will not be friends with you. And I would be friends with probably the friendly white woman next to me before the other one, because I'm just like, excuse me, rude. Like, it can happen. So, I mean, to be honest, you can see and interpret what you want to see and interpret. Mm-hmm. To me, if Ebony just chose to not invite Bershawn, I think she could be like, I'm asserting the energy of being like, I don't have to film with you and I don't like you. It could have absolutely nothing to do with race, or it could have everything to be like, you might try to take my spot. And I could also understand her believing producers and production probably was like, there's one spot. That's it. I wouldn't be surprised if that for Roni, I would not be surprised if they were like, we got one and you're in.
Well, I also wonder what behind the camera looks like. I want to know what producers look like on the cast. I want to know, because we know that Bravo has a problem with representation, and it doesn't just mean representation does not just mean who is being present as a housewife, who is being a friend of. It means what does the behind the scenes look like? What do the production staff look like? What do the producers and editors and all of the people working, what does that look like? And I wonder sometimes with Roni, what does it look like? And are they editing with something in mind that ends up harming Bershawn and Ebony, like both of them, with this narrative that's being painted, that they're almost being edited? And it could be true, right? Like this could be shades of truth, but we know that everything is edited down into a very clean package that's presented to us as the viewers. So I wonder if it's being presented as this, these two women are at odds and they both have different ways of going about things. And I just wonder sometimes, like, is it being presented in this neat little package of an either or situation, instead of like, as you said, black people are not a monolith. People in general are not a monolith. Like, everybody has different perspectives and experience to bring to the table. So maybe it's being presented to us like, oh, Ebony's not inviting Bershawn because Bershawn is going about things in a different way. But it could just be that it's truly COVID and there wasn't enough room. There was a lot of people at that table. You know what I mean? And she is.
Yeah. And she wanted to make sure her friends got to be there. That could be a thing. Mm-hmm. But also, like, think of the fact that, you know, we're talking about Housewives of New York. These women don't get along with each other in any given moment.
Right.
If they don't want to invite someone, they absolutely can. But when Ebony doesn't invite the only other black person, it's like, hey, what's going on there? She could very easily just be like, I don't want to talk to you. And you want to know something? It can still be about the way that they think. I have plenty of other black associates or friends, or, you know, people that in my family are friends with, that I'm like, I don't vibe with what you vibe with. The way you think about our community and the way I think about our community are vastly different, to the points of where we cannot even agree on like basic human right things and basic civil right things about our own community, where you want to place maybe blame on us and I want to place appropriate blame on appropriate people, or you don't want to have that conversation, you want to act like shit's sweet, like things like that. Even my own grandmother, she likes to pretend like she did not even come up in a time where there was racism. My mom experienced it all the time living in her house, but she likes to pretend it, because for her mind, her revisionist history, and at her age of elder, it's easier for her to just think, no, I didn't experience any of that in my day. Everything was nice and everything. I'm like, ow, because it's not even nice now. It's okay. But like, you know, there are days where I'm like, ooh, this is ugly. This is really not cute. And she's like, back in the 1930s, 40s, 50s? Question mark?
A famously totally wonderful time for many people.
Right. She's like, yeah, good old days had those. Mm-hmm. But and you know, my fiance is like, her dad has had, he talks differently about segregation than like we do. We're like, oh, negative, negative, negative. He grew up in it and he was like a part of non-segregated schools and segregated schools. And he's like, listen, sometimes it was a little easier on the other side. It's a totally different experience than, you know, the people have, but there are people who just don't get along because of that. They don't agree on things and they don't get along and they don't have to just because they share something in common. Like, and the race is, that's the loosest basis of a friendship ever. We'll get to Dorit and her mom in a second.
Oh, Lord help me. Lord help me. I really do feel like sometimes I just come on your podcast
that was
just prove that my favorites are total assholes. But circling back a little bit, and I'm not making this comparison. I'm not comparing Bershawn to this person. I want to make myself very clear about that. I'm actually—
oh, Lord, we're in for it now.
But I think that a lot of times white women like Ramona will look for an opinion from a Black person that lines up with theirs so they can be like, aha, see? And there the Candace Owens of the world, and there are people that will say things that white people are like, aha, see, I knew it all along, and look, and they'll point to a Black person to be like, and this is why I'm not racist, because she said that I'm right. And so I do think that, and again, not comparing Bershawn to
a— no, but little do they know, that's also a very lucrative field for us, because they know that people will like eat that up. So it's right. Like really, it's lucrative. I'm just saying, that's—
but
just—
you
a
know
little
what I mean, like I think that
for thought.
I think that Ramona is the type of person that's going to look for somebody to— even at this dinner, you see her scrambling of like, who at this dinner is going to back me up here? And everybody was like, no, thank you.
Sonia was absolutely not having it. I just want to finish up the Bershawn Ebony thing. Truly, we will never know. I will never know. She will give an answer. I think she'll be asked it at the reunion, because they have to. They have to pit it against each other and be like, why didn't you invite her? It could honestly be everything we're saying, none of what we're saying, or a combination of it all. Mm-hmm. But once we get there, Sonia is making polite conversation with everybody in the room, because Sonia's never met a stranger. Truly, do you believe Sonia is an introvert? Like, I think she's saying that she can be an ambivert, which is like an introverted extrovert. Like, when they're out, they're out. When they're in, they're in. So they could be an ambivert, but like, I just think Sonia's an extrovert.
I just think Sonia's a cuckoo bird. I feel like she could actually be an introvert. I think that a lot of times there's a misconception that introverts mean you're quiet and demure and, you know, into yourself. But really, it just has to do with, where do you recharge? Do you recharge by talking to people, by being in crowds? I'm very much an extrovert. Like, I fill my cup by speaking to people and getting attention. I'm a Gemini. I love attention. Whereas my husband is somebody that he's very good in a social situation. He's hysterical. He commands a room, but he gets home and he's exhausted. So Sonia could be a mix of them both. But that being said, like, the Sonia Morgan we've seen is a bit of the class clown. I don't necessarily disagree with Bershawn when she called Sonia a clown. I think that that's the role she's learned to play for survival. And I do think that she maybe feeds off of the energy, but at the end of the day, it leaves her depleted. So in a way, I can understand herself saying that she's an introvert. What I think is funny is watching Luann and Ramona really get angry at her connection with Ebony. It seems like they are very uncomfortable and jealous with this bond that Ebony and Sonia have made. And the fact that Ebony seems to see Sonia, like really see her and really have look at her with fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think that Luann and Ramona can't stand that.
She doesn't make Sonia feel like she has to continue to put on.
Mm-hmm.
And why... Why do you think they can't stand that? Because they want to seem like they care about Sonia a lot. They act like they are, like, you know, so concerned.
I think they care about Sonia, but yeah. I think that, you know, they've been friends for so many decades. I think you just fall into your roles. And I think that Sonia, it's very easy for them to dismiss her and put her in this box. And you notice, like, when they're concerned about her, they're concerned about her. And when they want to put on the kid gloves and coddle her and enable her, they do that too. And I almost feel like Ebony coming in shakes up the dynamics and they're like, wait a second. No, this is our Sonia. This is how we handle her. And Ebony is going about it in a completely different way of just really like cutting the bullshit and seeing her and speaking to her directly. And I just feel like it's very interesting to see Luann and Ramona this entire season and kind of just like the act that they're putting on. It's very clear that they're clinging to the old days of Roni, and those days are ending. And I think they know that. And I think that they want it to be the old school. I think the best example was a couple of episodes ago when they were in Salem and they just kept changing the subject to talk about Sonia in this blind date situation or the matchmaker situation. And she was like, no, let's talk about what just happened at dinner. And they're like, no, let's talk about the matchmaker. And they were trying to have this storyline that would have played out 2 seasons ago, 3 seasons ago, but they're just like not willing to be in the moment and be participating in the Roni that's taking place today. And I blame the OGs for this shit show of a season.
Okay. I mean, I couldn't agree more, because as we, you know, work our way into the Shabbat dinner and jumping ahead a little bit, it goes without saying, Ramona does not do well when she feels like she has no stake in a conversation. Mm-hmm. She does not, she works very hard to be oppressed. And I speak for many oppressed people and groups everywhere going, why? We would love to not. I'd love to be a 70-something-year-old ageless white woman in New York City with money. I'd love to. Give me all the opportunity, girl. Like, why she wants so badly to relate to an experience that doesn't sound great. Like, they're sharing basically like stories of oppression. And she's like, me, I fit. I'd love to fit right here, college. And I'm like, are you okay? Like, why is this a goal of yours to have? And someone actually told me today, Ramona confuses inconvenience with oppression. It was an inconvenience, yes, to not be liked in college. It was like, okay, yes, maybe you were discriminated against or whatever, but it did not deter you from any opportunities in your life at college or otherwise, making other friends, getting a man, clearly getting engaged to more than once, getting proposed. Nothing, it did not do anything for you because of who you are and something you could not change. It was simply an inconvenience that you weren't liked. I mean, Leah said it herself. She's like, I'm sure the Jewish people didn't like you at college. I'm sure no one liked you at college. Somebody could have simply met her, and probably if she was of the same person, I mean, yeah. I mean, her daughter is probably one of my least favorite people. And I can say this because she's an adult now, of TV history. And so if there is a personality like through line, I could see it not being everyone's palate, their cup of tea, their taste. It's not mine, so I get it. But like, she confuses being inconvenienced with being oppressed. And she doesn't do well with inconvenience. And that's truly the sign of privilege.
You know what's so wild though? This is now the second time this season that she has said she wishes she was someone else who has experienced oppression, because we know that with the Ebony situation, she was saying, I want your life. I want your life. I want that bag. I want your life. And now she's saying every day she wishes that she was born a Jewish person. It's just so bizarre. And truly, she cannot handle not being the center of a conversation, even for an evening. And it's so
a black Shabbat, as the
man said. At least she's consistent though. Like, at least she's consistent that she was an asshole at Ebony's night in Harlem and also this Shabbat dinner. Like, she's just consistently a total fucking asshole.
I mean, she started with Leah at the very beginning, and that circles us back. Like, you know, I did think that the whole FaceTiming thing was distracting, but for Ramona to take the phone and say to her, listen, we're in the moment and we really can't like participate with you because you're not here. So like, just be quiet and wait. And they're like, why are you coming after her right now? And Sonya's like, because she's a bitch. And she's like, I'm not a bitch. And so, I was like, but the funny Sonya's thing, funny.
No, but the funny thing about that situation is like, Ramona wasn't wrong. Now, I don't begrudge Leah for that. I think that that's the responsibility of Ebony or of the host to be like, listen, I know that you really want to be here. I know this ties into your storyline for the season. Great. But unfortunately it's not working. So I'm going to put you on mute, just observe and watch. But essentially what that's what Ramona was saying of just like, be quiet and observe. We're here in the moment, but she can't take her own advice. Like at least Leah had an excuse of a bad connection. Ramona was disrupting this dinner and she was there. You know
what
I mean?
There was no Wi-Fi.
There was no Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi connection on Ramona. Like it's so Leah is in and out and starting over, and it's like interrupting Archie's many attempts at saying the blessings and getting things started. We even kind of don't see it, like the blessing that she kept trying to start. We don't even see it. We know it happened, but we don't get to see it because there's so much chaos. And so we get to though the candle lighting, and that was Leah's responsibility. And Ebony did it for her. And Leah tells her, just assuming, yes, it was presumptuous, but it was not like out of heart. And Ebony handled it because it's her own conversation. Leah says, just make sure you don't blow it out after you light it. And Ebony's like, oh, yes, I know, honey. I've done this before. And Ramona had to chime in, though Ebony answered and it was done, solved. It's fine. No one's having a problem. Ramona's like, she's more of a pro at this thing you are. I'm like, huh? And then this is where we start to see that Ramona can't not be the center of attention. She's like, you know, I even started converting. Like, I know I'm even a Jew. Like I almost was one. Like I was converting too. I'm like, so it was that Ebony is a pro and Leah is a lesser than Jewish person because she's what, not done? Like at least she's committed. Like, I don't know what your stake in this is, but it's like inconsistent messaging from Ramona, because she's like, Ebony like begets Leah, and then she's like, but I begot Ebony because I was a Jew before anybody was. Like, I was converting before it was what, trendy? Like, what is your purpose of this? I didn't even know she was engaged before. And what did you think of her reasoning for breaking off her engagement because he didn't say thank you for converting?
I don't even know what to do. There was a lot to unpack in this
that was
episode.
The most housewife response I've ever heard.
Ramona Singer, I'm just done. I'm done with her. I know that she's everybody's lovable monster. I know she's a monster.
I don't know why.
I just think she's it's like, time. It's time for her.
The whole
to
she's
go
our
to
monster.
The, we need to send her to the farm.
I've never
live out
wanted
her days.
I've time. Never really wanted a monster. I wanted like a gerbil, a pony, a dog, a goldfish.
Like, so the thing is, and we knew this was going to happen. She's great television, or she was. She was great television because we're watching her be an asshole. But, and this is coming from my place of privilege as a white woman, of it never felt unsafe the way that she was an asshole because she was with other white women. So when she was being an asshole, we knew that part of her was probably there, but now having to watch her experience living a world outside of her little Upper East Side white bubble where all of her 50 girlfriends are blonde and robotic, like Chuck E. Cheese animatronic characters, watching her brain explode as she tries to bring in and listen to other people's experiences, it's not good television anymore. It's just literally a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where I am cringing and I don't even need to work out because I sweat enough watching this 60 minutes of Roni than I could in any Peloton workout.
Honey, the Kegels that I did, I was like, ooh, holy girl. Like, I don't know why she didn't take the Luann approach. And you know what? For once, Luann learned a lesson.
This
is probably going to save her because she was quiet as a church mouse, just watching it all go down. And then she said in her confessionals, she doesn't really know when to shut up, basically. Like, she was like, Ramona's big in her own grave. She was like, my name is Bennett, and...
When
I'm
Luann is the
it.
Voice of reason, you know we are off. In the upside down. Things are bad. things this is the are bad place.
Like truly very confused. And then, yeah, it starts to get very nuts and it goes fast. I had to rewind a few times. Like, what is happening? Go back. Like, so Ramona is like trying to insert herself just to say that she has a stake in the conversation. Again, mm-hmm. she's like, I have something to add because she is of a time and generation or a social class, if you will, that every conversation is lighthearted enough that everyone can like politely, it's like chit chat, you know, they can politely indulge and then withdraw and then move on to the next and be mobile and then just like politely add like, oh yes, like we also summer in the Hamptons like that, and which Roni used to be early, like first couple episodes of the first season, like a gajillion years ago, but we've gone so far from there. So I, this is, which is crazy because this isn't even like the first political season they have. If we remember, Carol was like on one about 2016, I don't remember the years.
And then allegedly
2016.
And then allegedly didn't vote, but yeah. That's neither here nor there.
That's neither here nor there. But like, that was a thing. Like even Bethany was like, okay, she's like, it's like enough. Like she's like on one about this. And it was like a thing about at the reunion of who'd you vote for? And everybody was asked. Mm-hmm. And it was like pretty telling. People were like, yeah, either I really didn't, or they're like, I don't disclose what that information is. I'm like, okay, so you know that's like literally how like pleading the fifth works. It's like, yes, it's so that you won't further incriminate yourself, but literally it tells the prosecution that you have something that would incriminate you.
So speaking like you don't want to speak. Did you see that Tom is pleading the fifth?
I don't know what else I would have expected from him, because remember, he has dementia. He remembers nothing mm-hmm. of the last 3 to 5 years of his life, which is of course when this all started, 3 to 5 years
famously, yes,
ago. Yes, famously, though there's absolutely no any indication that it happened before then, like, oh, I don't know, settled lawsuits that he like lost or something, like I don't know.
I know I'm Who taking knows? Us on a tangent, but you know that Taria from What Else Is Going On always has the scoop for everything. So ooh. Allegedly there was a podcast that he went on like a year and a half ago where he was completely coherent, yes, and all of the audio was pulled, but of course Facebook investigators, somebody had grabbed the audio before it was pulled. And so it's out there in the interweb somewhere of him being completely coherent like 18 months ago on a podcast.
I mean, even Lisa Rinna of all people said, like, I mean, I saw him last year. He seemed pretty coherent to me. They famously were. I mean, listen, I've said it before. Everybody's situation is different. I'm not buying it, but everyone's is different. So me drawing from my experience with my grandmother is not the same. My mom has been worried about my grandmother's deterrent of her mental like capacity since 2016. Mm-hmm. And now she has full on like dementia, degenerative like dementia. But like since 2016, my mom has been like, something right. Like there are signs, things aren't good. Oh my God. Like just saying people should really like look into it. If it's rapidly happening that fast, it's a marvel of science. And we need to really make sure he gets the help he needs. And we look into that. That's all I'll say. We could also look into Ramona and figure out what's going on in there. But she seems fully coherent when she decides to say any of the things she says. And well, she kind of started with out of nowhere in the very beginning, the Italians and the Jews were like a close community or something. And we weren't talking about that. But like Archie's point was like, that she really wanted to like bridge a gap between that she was concerned about in her perception of between Jewish people and Black people and pull them together in a way. And I mean, this is what the Black Shabbat mm-hmm. was supposed to do, which makes sense. I like the message, makes sense. I mean, I think I've spoken to enough Jewish people and I know enough Black people to know that that's a very real message. And we understand where she's coming from with this message. But Ramona's just like, enough of that.
Let's talk about me.
You want to know something? I, too, was discriminated against as a child. You say Curb Your Enthusiasm. I got straight up Michael Scott.
I was like, just I about to say
absolutely that. Got The Office Michael Scott. Like I too was discriminated against.
I'm a victim of a hate crime. I hated it.
Like, she was giving very much like, you know, I was, and you want to know what's worse? Archie was validating her and it wasn't enough for her. Mm-hmm. Archie was like, that's important. And I want to talk about that. We'll get to that in a second. She's like, because I was Christian. They hated me because I was Christian. She's like driving the point home. And it was just like, we didn't even actually get to the meat of why Archie was even saying anything before you were like, but also me. I'm saying in general, people.
Yeah. I felt for Archie because you know that she was probably so ecstatic that she had the opportunity to have the Housewives platform to get her message across, which is an incredibly important message.
Yeah.
I mean, Ebony talks about how many times marginalized communities will be at war with each other, not recognizing that white supremacy is the only winner of the situation. Like, such an important cause, such an important message. And poor Archie left that dinner looking like she had been to war. Like, she at the end looked so exhausted. And
bless her heart.
There was a couple times that she was like, can we continue? And I was like, oh, Archie, I hope that at least Andy has you on Watch What Happens Live or something comes out of this, because this poor woman did not know what she was signing up for. And Ramona is just such a dick. I'm sorry for cursing so much.
No,
it's Mani had her tequila shot. I'm just sipping my vodka soda because truly I finished this episode 5 minutes before we started recording because I was just like, oh my God, like this was horrific. Horrific.
Yeah. And then she left to go to the bathroom, but she did make a stink enough that people thought she was leaving. And Ebony even said, you know, probably for the best, because she's like, then we can continue with this. Because even Leah's like yelling from her house on the Zoom, like, this is not about you. Can you just let the woman talk? But she's talking about bridging a gap with people at the table. Like, she wants, this is a message, like, this is about Ebony, this is her event. Like, what is wrong with that happening for a second? And Ramona's like, I'm just saying, like, why do we have to talk about right now? I'm talking about like overall, like in life. It's like, it's not about in life. It's about right now. There are genuinely people that are hurting and they're trying to understand each other, understand what the commonalities are between the two of them. So they don't have to hate each other. They can realize, oh, we've been actually both lied to, or we both have misconceptions that we could kind of break down and start bridging gaps. And that is how we become a society of togetherness. That
but you know you're what, talking about, Ramona?
That's how we get it.
But I actually think that the purpose of the dinner may have been achieved, because I think that everybody at that table walked away with a common enemy of hating Ramona Singer.
Listen, I was the two people in the corner. I forget her name, and the man. Like, I was them in the corner when Sonya was like, we're talking about the Blacks and the Jews. And she said, oh, Lord, the Blacks and the Jews, honey. He said, I need another margarita. I said, this is...
Because that's the thing about Sonya. Sonya, a lot of times, I think that the bar is so low on Roni.
Oh, it's in hell.
A lot of time we're like, oh, look at Sonya. She's trying. Diverse She's fish. Trying to get it. She's colorful fish. Attempting.
Look at my We Are the World fish. Never have forgotten.
Let's I don't not think forget you that
Sonya's
like,
heart.
Yeah.
I think she has a decent heart that she wants to. And she even, but nobody realized it in the background, she was saying, this is my thing. She was basically saying that she likes causes. And she was like, the LGBTQ and the Jews and the Black people. And I'm like, this girl is literally listing causes of like charities. And she's like, she's listing groups of minority people as if they're causes.
Yes. And I just don't like the vibe that she's like adopting a puppy. You know, like that's the vibe she gets.
On another charity, like for the Morgan Chase company to write a check to. Like, we'll take the check. I don't know where it's going, but I'll take it.
I'm pretty sure Sonia's checks may be bouncing at this point.
Oh, burn. But like, no.
As I sit here with like $62 in my account, I'm like, Sonya's not that wealthy anymore.
Listen, the bar is an absolute hell. Like, it really is, especially on Roni. And we know this to be true. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, so someone asked me, they were like, so how did you feel about watching it? I was like, what's funny is most people, can be true with multiple, you know, minority situations, even if you're like the woman in the room or the only woman in the room, especially me as only Black person or woman or both in the room, I am those people at that table. You just laugh it all off too, because you don't gotta consider the cost. Everything is not worth you getting your blood pressure high. That's why I always say, if someone is bringing up an injustice against them, trust me, they're at a wit's end. Because 9 times out of 10, we would rather just brush it off and relax, or like take it home and just deal with it at home in therapy with our friend, whatever. Like, y'all know the bullshit that this boss did to me today, honey, like at the brunch table. But like, if we're bringing it up or tweeting about it, girl, we're tired. And so these people around the table are me. They're like, oh, girl, it's gotta laugh it off, because you're just like, there's not enough margaritas here for this.
Well, it goes back to what Quinn said on Know That podcast. I think you may have actually been the guest that week, but he was like, I just want to let the white people know that's listening, we don't want you to be racist. It's easier for us when you're not racist. And I think, I don't know. It's just a dumpster fire.
I say all the
fire.
Time, I would prefer, people are like, well, how do you have to talk about race? Girl, I don't want to. I would prefer it stop coming up. I would prefer Ramona be better about that, so I don't have to bring it up. Because, I mean, the whole Black Shabbat thing, I mean, it was like, it was perfectly aligned with what Archie's goals were. I thought it would have been a nice thing to explore. No idea. We never got there, so we will never know. Leah's like, take me out the room, which some people have thought was distracting, like, because we don't really get to her engage more. But like, also, Ebony needed to decompress and get another drink and just chit chat with her girlfriend. Like, is up with her? Like, why is she like this? Because it's like when you text someone on their table, like, what is going on? Like, do you see this shit show? This is bad. Like, and Sonia is like, Ramona, shut up. Like, but it's more about Ramona, because she's not necessarily fighting the good fight. She's just like sick of Ramona. So we truly don't even know what the true motivation behind it is, other than Ramona is always, she knows that whatever side Ramona's on, she probably doesn't want to be on that side, which is probably a good method of life. It's
My issue sometimes with Sonia is like, I understand that you're going up against Ramona, and 9 times out of 10, like, you don't even have to have the right motive, because Ramona's always wrong. So you going up against Ramona is going to make you inherently right. But my issue is like, by Sonia going about it the way Sonia does, as soon as I saw her having a margarita, I'm like, oh fuck, here we go. But the way she goes about it is equally as disruptive. And yeah, she's technically on the right side of things, but she's still taking away from Archie's message in a different way. She's still centering herself in a different way by being outwardly, aggressively anti-Ramona and still taking away from the message of the dinner. Instead of just like kicking Ramona in the shins under the table and listening to Archie, she's also taking away from it all too.
Yeah, she's engaging with Ramona and like, you know, she's supposed to disengage literally. And you know what? It's like, just like, what was that? Oh, when Ebony had her last party and Sonia brought up something I was definitely thinking, where she was like, she just wants you on her page or whatever so that she can say she has a Black friend. Yes, we're thinking it. Of course I'm thinking it. But you don't say it to that person in the moment, because A, it's going to create an insecurity they did not welcome, but they also didn't really welcome the idea of questioning their new friendships in a place that they didn't feel that. Like, nobody wants to feel like they're the token. Even if they think that they are, nobody wants to be told, you know, what's happening here, right? She's not really your friend. Yeah. And I'm like, see, this is that what I'm talking about. Like, the bar is on the floor. It's in Hades.
I was so
mad. It's below deck.
Yeah, I was so mad when Sonia did that, because if you really felt like that, and she's probably right, we know who Ramona Singer is. We know that probably, yes, she's posting
time
about Ebony.
Place, though.
Yes, but also like, then talk to your friend of 30 years, because what does that say about you that's your best friend? Then talk to her, have a scene where you drag her on camera, but don't bring that to Ebony's door and make Ebony sit with that. That's really rude. That's so mean. Like, that's just actually just mean.
That's true. I didn't even think of that, because also it's embarrassing her in front of everyone. Like, hey, guess what? You're the token. Did you know that?
Right.
And it's like, but what does that say about you? If you know this to be true, why don't you just tell her that?
Right. Exactly.
That's a good point. I never even considered that. Black Shabbat was wild. Shabbat was supposed to be about literally resting and peace, and everything that they read did not happen. Leah's prayer was beautifully done. She was very nervous and insecure about it. It was great that she's committing to it. I had Mandy Slutsker on my show a couple of weeks ago to discuss all of that and Leah's conversion. So you can go back and listen to that.
That was such a good
episode. Yeah, Mandy is amazing. Was a fabulous condo, darling. Oh my God. In the middle of DC, I said, oh, you girl, you go. Okay.
Mandy, all right, let's just a quick Mandy aside of a Mandy appreciation moment.
Yeah.
Mandy is so like sneaky with how awesome she is. Like, she's just so humble about things. And then she'll tell the story. Like, she was on Taria's podcast and was like, oh, like when I met Michelle Obama, I'm like, can we back up for a moment? Like, let's talk about her. That.
Made her laugh.
Right.
Okay, girl. Like, she's also the reason we got so much free wine when we went to the same winery of the Potomac fight, Monique versus Candace, because a very attractive, like, associate there was smitten by her. And I was like, oh, Mandy got the juice. Okay. I'm taking her everywhere. Come on. Mm-mm. First squeeze. Like, that's a good, and she makes a delicious curry, but no lamb, but probably better than Garth's. All right, y'all, we are going to take a quick break and we will be back with Beverly. I can't even get it out. This was some wild stuff. So we'll be right back with Beverly Hills and maybe another tequila shot because this one's already wearing off. They were right. I did need it for all of Roni. Oh my God. But I got through it. It was painless. So hold on 1 second and we will be back with, what did I just say? Beverly Hills. Maybe it didn't.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, y'all, we are back. We had a nice kiki offline. Ooh, we are the cute ones. okay, we are back with Beverly Hills. My heart raced, and I'm not going to lie, it was fun for me. And by fun, I mean, of course, I had the natural ups and downs of like, and then like, okay, so we're on board that she's a criminal, right? Like, we're, of course that. And then we get to the point where I was like, thank you. And someone's the voice of reason. And they're saying what we're all thinking. And it's like, and then extreme, it got very Beverly Hills. I don't want to be associated with people who, I'm like, okay, association. We're not even questioning her anymore. It's straight up, we're removing ourselves. Disengagement knows a new form in the form of Sutton Strachey or Strack, whichever tickles your fancy. I think it depends. It's very much a Judice situation. I don't think we know, but I have complicated feelings about Sutton overall, but for this episode, I stand.
Sutton has taken us on a roller coaster ride this season, and I do love that she seems to be the one that is fully taking on the role of speaking for the audience. Of, it's very clear that Rinna, Kyle, and Dorit have these pre-rehearsed scenes with Erica. They know what to ask. They know what sound bites to use. They know, I mean, Kyle Richards really put her little house on the prairie acting skills to work when she was like, oh, I just put this together about the car crash. I didn't even think about it before. And it's nice.
They act like they're dumb.
I know. It's nice to see that the newbies are kind of like, Okay. I hear that. I hear what's happening here. I see the improv sketch you guys have planned, but instead of saying yes, and I'm going to say no, but like, can I ask a question now? And specifically the fact that Sutton is taking on the detective hat of saying, no, that doesn't add up. That doesn't match up. Can you give me more information? Because this seems like a hot mess that now I'm inadvertently associated with, and no, thank you.
No. And I get that. I mean, she's a very wealthy woman, as we saw with, I love that she kept her money close to the chest when they were like, how much did that vintage Cartier set you back? And Lisa goes, I just love how rich you are. And she's like, I won't say. She was very cute with that. But I also think that a lot of what we see later in the episode stems from what we see in the beginning of the episode, where Garcelle is like spiraling because everyone is like looking at her like with daggers, like, look at what you did. You set Erica off, which isn't what happened. She got a freaking alert that this article was coming out. It's why before Garcelle said anything, she said, I'm going to have to leave early. I had a lot to deal with back in LA.
Right.
She wanted to leave because someone did her the professional courtesy of letting you know, hey, this article's coming out. We can't stop it, which happens a lot. So if you want to get in front of it, whatever. But like, Garcelle is being made to feel, and Rinna's like, it just sucks that this happened. And Lisa, she's rubbing Erica's back. Oh, the worst. I hate her. And she's like, and looking at Garcelle and it like, and Garcelle's like, you know, I would not have done this. And Kathy is Kyle. They are producers. They know what they're doing, which is why I think Kathy is putting on. I don't think she's this aloof. She is not stale bread. She is the biggest hostess in the world, and her business is hospitality.
So I am still loving the casting choice to bring Kathy Hilton on part-time as a friend of. Like, I think that's genius. Whoever actually locked that down needs a raise, needs all the things, because I do think that this caricature she's portraying is what we need in this dynamic. We need comic relief. We need a breath of fresh air. We need to laugh at who is Hunky Dory. And so I think that it's brilliant. But when I changed my tune into, I know you've been saying it from the beginning that she's been putting on and this, she's putting on a show and that she's playing this part. But last episode, when she was telling Erica how to play dumb and be like, security guard, I've been traveling. I forgot that I had this home. Can you let me in? I was like, oh, this bitch knows exactly what she's doing. She knows how to play this part. She knows what she's doing. And yeah, she definitely is playing this role, and she knows what she's doing, because if you pay attention to what Kathy Hilton's doing, she has been the true sniper from the side this entire season.
She's
been the one, Thomasina. She's been the one poking. She's the one that tells Garcelle not to go. Like, she is brilliant.
Just like Kyle would do that. She followed Sutton at their own luncheon. Like, what's going on? I know you and something, no, you don't. I know you, but something's upsetting you. Like, it's more than your kids being at home. What's going on? Like, she's like, please stay. Just stay and let's talk about it. You literally just said when Erica left, I don't know her. Like, you Mariah carried that day. So why you care so much about their dynamic? I don't know, especially as a friend of, but she's in control. She is aware. You don't build a conglomerate. You don't have two girls who know strategically how to never look bad in a photo, how to pose for everything, how to have the best PR I've ever seen, though they've had the most amount of fuck ups I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know how to do all that and not be the smart person who knows the difference between a freaking grill scrub brush, tacos,
and a broom. She's
asking, well, you know what a broom is. You ask somebody to do it for you. You have to give them something. Like, again, she lost. I was never fully sold, but when you put a lemon on top of napkins as like a paperweight and stale bread out, the cop was like, that's stale. She's like, oh, it's fine. I was like, Tiffany Moon did an entire like spread of tea and a luau at one of their, you know, few boutique hotels. This bitch built Hilton. Like, granted, yes, I know she married the name. It was the grandson or whatever. But you don't get to be at that level and live in the Waldorf Astoria or whatever. And you don't know the proper paperweight or the not to serve stale bread.
Did you see, this was truly one of the funniest things I've seen on the internet in years, maybe all of my life.
Oh.
Raven from Mainly Bravo posted her conspiracy theory that Kathy Hilton put out stale bread so that one of the women would chip their teeth so that she could perform dental work on them.
That is amazing. That's hilarious. Raven, I love you. That's very, very funny. But yeah, so Garcelle's upset. She tries to leave. And Crystal basically confirms like the conspiracy theory that I put out even last week, or it is my last episode, that they did take separate cars because of COVID. So there have been some discrepancies. People have been like, oh, I had production tell me that they did hear the conversation together. I don't think they would have had the footage or let that conversation slip if it would, if it left lip to moment. If they had visual of Erica saying those words, they would have used those that exact visual because they like to play everything on a loop of like, look what we got, look what we got. And they are digging. So I don't think they had it. It felt like an overlay. And
I think regardless though, I do believe that Garcelle wasn't told. So we've heard the conspiracy theories. We've heard that Garcelle was told by production to bring this up. We've heard all of the, you know, behind the scenes alleged stuff. I don't think that Garcelle meant to do Erica wrong. Like, I do believe her when she was spiraling, and you could just see that like hurt in her eyes of like, fuck, like
I was used.
I did something wrong, and I did something that's going to end up hurting her more. And Lisa Rinna's entire reaction to this made me so angry. I was so happy when later on in the episode, Garcelle said what we were all thinking of, like, Lisa Rinna, you need to sit down because do you remember the questions you were asking Denise last season? Oh, suddenly.
Okay, we're so not suddenly you're not into inquisitive? Crazy. Right.
Like, but I just felt bad because I did feel like Garcelle, we've all had that moment where we've maybe overstepped or said something we didn't mean to, or we thought we were doing the right thing and we realized that it was just perceived wrong, or that we really hurt somebody's feelings by accident. And you have that moment of like internal panic of like, oh my God, what did I just do? And I understood her being like, I'm just going to leave. Like, I just felt for Garcelle in that moment because I actually think Garcelle is one of the only women right now that is acting in a way that's authentic and true in a genuine human way of like, how am I going to navigate this incredibly complicated situation while also doing my job by putting on a damn good show?
Yeah, she's asking questions we all want to know. She knows that nothing makes sense, so she's trying to figure it out for herself and for us. And she's like concerned about her friend hurting because she doesn't know what's happening. Right. So she's trying to figure it out. And, you know, Crystal basically said you were already in the car, which means she was in a different car.
Right.
Because if she was like, you were already in the car, I know you didn't hear this, that means they were in two different cars, which means that their conversation probably was a hot mic situation and was like, I don't want to talk. She probably did say, I don't want to talk about this on the show, but Kyle, how she's the voice of reason for me, I don't know. I'm having such a good moment with Kyle this season. It's really upsetting me deeply.
Me too. I'm like, damn, I love Doogie. Like, when did this happen that I became a Doogie stan?
Multiple times this episode, I was like, about the race thing later. She was like, right. I'm like, oh my God, Kyle, damn. But like, she said in her confessional, she was like, I don't understand though why this would be a big deal. I mean, you were married like 20 years, you would call your wife. Like, that makes sense. So I don't know why this would be upsetting her so much. It's got to be something else. I'm like, it is alas, it is something else.
The and rise so, and fall of Erica and Tom.
Yep, she leaves, they all go out there, and then Garcelle like kind of wipes her tears to go, wait a minute, there's an inner circle and I'm really sick of it, because everyone seems to know what the hot buttons are, but I'm in the hot seat because I don't know, because we're not close enough because there's an inner circle.
It was interesting to see just the difference between a first season housewife and a second season housewife, of her and Crystal waiting for their Uber outside, or their whatever, their rich, their limo outside, whatever. Girl, the rich production. People take.
That was them.
But you know what I mean? Like, but seeing them outside, because I actually do think Crystal did a really good job navigating that situation of both having empathy for Erica, but still standing up for Garcelle and being like, she didn't hear this. But Garcelle even saying like, this is going to be a thing. That's what the underlying message of them having that conversation of, it was interesting that they were there and we were here. And Crystal's like, no, it's not like that. There's no sides. And she was like, no, there's sides. And basically without breaking the fourth wall being like, no, this is going to be a thing on this show. And you're going to be forced to pick a side because this is the way this works. So it's just really interesting to see that Crystal is still so green about all of this and doesn't understand fully, I think, what she's gotten herself into, that she's like, no, there's no sides. And Garcelle's like, oh, no, there's sides.
Yeah, I mean, because like, listen, Dorit and Rinna kind of come after her and like, so like, why did you do that though? I'm like, okay, so then why'd you ask Denise who she sleeps with?
Right.
Like, I mean, I just said today on a comment on a post and I was like, yeah, she said Rinna said in Watch What Happens Live, it's like apples and oranges. And she's like, well, I took a step back after last season and said, I need to really like calm down. I'm like, first of all, you've gotten backlash many years and you've never calmed down. Mm-hmm. It's because this is your friend and you're somehow afraid of her for whatever reason. And she's like, it's like apples and oranges.
And the rumors, the alleged rumors, allegedly, that Erica invested in Rinna Beauty a large sum of money, allegedly. And so perhaps one Lisa Rinna is afraid what that would mean for her in court if a large portion of her investor comes from Girardi Keys. But that's neither here nor there.
Sutton's forensic accountant gonna find it. That's what I know. She's like, we're going to comb through those accounts in the Caymans and whatnot that Dorit knew so much about. But truly, it was like she said it's like apples and oranges. And I was like, yes, you're right. One is alleged to either be complicit or be benefiting from victims, actual crimes. And Sutton said, this is not a white collar crime, which is like a technically, in the eyes of the law, a quote unquote victimless crime. I believe there's no such thing as a victimless crime because somebody got to be on the other end of the crime. So somebody's going to suffer. But there were people that did actually and absolutely suffer. So yeah, the other person slept with somebody
And had a private sexual experience off camera with somebody that wasn't on the show. And you felt like that was your time.
Mm-hmm. Whereas allegedly this person, your friend, literally did all this for the show to be like cute. Okay. So you're right. Apples and oranges. You only like really dug into someone for something that had nothing to do with you, but are completely letting it go and consoling the person. Like, I mean, someone cries and you cried with them, but what I liked was that everybody changed their tune once the article came out. And then they were like, oh, but I don't really think we can kind of like state by this one.
So this is what I've been waiting for. So, you know, I've been covering this, shameless plug. Mm-hmm. I've been covering this over on the Patreon with my sister-in-law. And every week we have been having to remind ourselves that in real time, we as the audience know way more information than what came out, because it was kind of like dominoes. First, it was the announcement of the divorce. Then it was the lawsuits. And then it was like, boom, 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 boom. Housewife of the Hustler, Trisha A. Bigelow, shit's going down. Oh shit, it's bad. So I was kind of waiting for them to catch up with the information that we have. And now it's here. We've got the Bigelow situation. We've got the rise and fall of Erica Girardi. Like, we have all of the information now. So now is the time where I'm going to be like, all right, friends. All right, housewives. What are you going to do with this information? Because this is very different than the narrative Erica has been painting for the past six episodes.
Yes, I think absolutely. This is going to be, this is where it goes. This is, we have nowhere to go, but down, up for us, down for Erica. Right. They're all fully caught up. They're aware of what we're aware of. It is time to stop acting, Andy, like that documentary did not exist, which only highlighted the voices of the people that are allegedly the victims of this crime. And like, what I need people to realize is that, like, it's not even like it's just alleged. He settled for some of these, or a judge declared him to be bad. You need to give them their money. most of the people that were able to talk in this documentary were able to talk because it's already been settled.
Right.
They already made their case. I didn't get my money. I would like it. And the judge said, you're right. He does owe it to you.
So you know that I am a victim myself of Bravo editing. And we had this conversation on my Patreon last week of you always give it to me straight. And it's important. It's an important practice of mine to listen to your podcast weekly because I watch it and I'm like, oh, poor Erica. And I have to say after last week's episode, I was officially like, okay, no, because after all of this, what you have come up with for your defense is that this man got into an accident, bumped his head, became a different person, and then robbed people. And now we see that like, she's just full of shit about everything. And it's interesting to see, it seems like Rinna's sticking by her side. Kyle is perfect at riding the fence. That's like what she does for a living. Dorit has questions. And then Garcelle and Sutton are like, what the fuck? What the actual fuck is happening? Because everything that she has portrayed in her entire persona as Erica Jayne since we've met her as a housewife has been a lie. Like all of it is smoke and mirrors. All of it is a lie. And it's hard for her now to play this role of like, well, now I'm being open and honest, because it just shows what a great liar she was in every other season. And that was our criticism as us, as the audience of her, of that she was never authentic and that she
was cold.
But not even being cold, but just like she portrayed this version of her life that is clearly not reality. So it's like, so now it's the boy that cried wolf of, so now you want us to believe you that what you're doing now isn't painting a picture that is going to benefit you in some way?
Yeah. I mean, Kyle's like, oh yes. You know, like you said, it's all coming to her now. Everything is like crazy and confusing, and maybe this isn't true. And what do we know? She's been so open, but maybe not. It's like, yes, girl, we know. But like, everybody is like reading this article, and Lisa is almost like averse to it. She's like, I can't read it all. It's too much. I would be not peeling my eyes away. That's just me. And then Sutton comes down and is like, actually, I'm over bullshit. And I read this whole thing, and this is problematic. And I love that she was like, they're like, what's going to happen to Erica? And they were like, she could go to jail. Like, if, because she said, she goes, we're all wealthy women. We have LLCs. You sign the papers with your lawyer. You know what's going in it. If the devil himself gives you money for your LLC, you're responsible for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's all I'm saying. That's, Siggy Flicker, don't love her, but like, that's all I wanted. Like, that's all I wanted was someone to acknowledge that you do not wake up to $20 million. And Kyle said, whether in my bank account in 1 year, over multiple years, I would know if that money was coming into my account. She shadily says, I also know where all my houses are, and I've been to them. And I said, oh, that was fun. That was a very housewife way of pointing a very good picture of like, it doesn't add up. You're not a victim. You, because even if you knew nothing about the houses, even if he was the meanest he's ever been, even if he actually did drive down a cliff and 3 to 5 years ago, he's been deteriorating. You've been benefiting for your entire marriage. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if he has none of it, you do. And they're going to come after you. And if you don't have any more left, you're the earner. You're young. You're very viable. You can earn. You're on this show. And so this check is theirs. They will IRS your ass. They will garnish those wages if they have to.
Yeah, I felt like Amanda said it best on your episode earlier this week when she said, Erica might be a victim of Tom, but she's not the victim of Tom. And I think that she is, I think she's getting that confused in her mind. I think she's getting that confused, and she's equating her current situation of like, I'm just one of the many victims of the circumstance. And it's like, actually, no. No, 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 not comparable at all. And even if you didn't know anything, you might be a victim of this cold, loveless marriage. But it was interesting to me, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of all over the place because I just spin in my mind like the Tasmanian devil.
She causes confusion.
When Erica comes up, my brain just explodes. But I just thought it was so strange that the end, after all of this, after all of the potential defenses she could come up with, she came up with the fact that she left him because he bumped his head, got into this accident, and was mentally unwell. And she felt like he was making all of these terrible choices because his mental state was deteriorating. And I'm like, that just literally makes you look like an asshole. If that's really, if you didn't divorce him because you knew of these lawsuits, or because you were like, wow, I don't know who I'm sleeping next to at night, I wasn't aware this is who he was. You're saying you didn't know about any of that, and you were leaving him because he wasn't the man you married, or because he was an 80 something year old man who was losing his mental faculties. Mm-hmm. Like, it just makes you look like a dick.
The money dried up and she left. And I would honestly prefer she just admit that. But also, like, I know everybody's like, well, you know, even if she knew nothing, there's many, many ways we can bargain with her and still end up at the fact of like, you're an asshole, because there's so much there.
But I understand people being like, you know, she can't admit too much because then it's admitting, you know, X, Y, and Z.
But she chose to be on this show. That's on her.
But she could say, and I think Amanda said this earlier, but I think she literally could say, like, the lawsuits came out, I was frazzled, I truly didn't know what he was being accused of. I don't know if it's true or not. I hope it's not. And the man that I married, I believe in my heart, he didn't do it. But I had to distance myself and I divorced him because this has shaken me to my core. I would have gotten on board with that frame of reference, mm-hmm. of like, you are still not admitting to anything, but you're also not being like, oh yeah, he got old and I left his ass.
She wanted to see what we knew. And now that she knows what we know, and she got that email or whatever, that alert, that her article is coming out, because that article is going to say EJ Global got $20 million from this man and other people's money. And that is a lot. Even Rena goes, that's a lot of money, because it is a lot of money. It's way too much money for you to not ask a single question. I don't care if he was tight to the chest for his entire life and never told you a single thing. What I have said many times, what I believe happened is he's gotten away with it for so long that she did ask questions. She did know. She probably wasn't comfortable with it, but he was like, it's fine. It's fine. Like, I make it legal. Because, you know, that sometimes happens. Like, oh, I find loopholes and I find ways to make it legal. There's no right way or loophole that you can do. But if the money belongs to someone else, you're not supposed to touch it. But he has it. And Kyle even said he's like the richest attorney, like, ever. Like, I would have even asked questions. Like, how does an attorney have a plane? Like, I know it's not theirs, but it's not possible. It just simply is like, you can be the best, biggest, yeah. bad. I mean, people are like, oh yeah, Aaron Brockovich. But the magnitude that they were living superseded almost everyone else on the show.
And the editors do that shady ass flashback of all of the wealth mm-hmm. that they flaunted on
Louboutins or YSLs.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was okay. So I know I'm like shamelessly plugging myself a lot, but it really was a good episode when Monty came on, because you did change my mind on the Patreon when you said that you felt like she was always told these lawsuits were going to go away, and they always did. Mm-hmm. Like, there were a lot of lawsuits and they did go away, and that this one didn't, and this one must have felt different to her, and that's when she panicked. Because I do think yeah. there's a history of this. This isn't the first time that this
I'm not going to fault her for trusting her lawyer husband to handle mm-hmm. the lawsuits. Mm-hmm. That's why you marry one. It's smart. It's easy retainer. It's like, yeah, okay, you got it. You'll handle it. There's nothing better that he can do but that. But like, right. if you're going to write in your book, it was our money and I have a strong checkbook, you can't then turn around and say he had all this money and I never knew anything about it.
I mean, I hate to quote the woman because she drives me crazy, but Bethany Frankel said it best, when you can't play smart and stupid at the same time.
You can't. You can't. And did Bethany have an issue with Erica? Am I making that up, or that I?
She said she didn't understand her brand when she yeah. saw the music video, which, I mean, cheater brand, you know?
Yeah, why not? I mean, I can't wait for the episode where, like, after this article comes out, she still comes back. I mean, it's shameless. I understand people are like, well, it's her money or it's her job now. But like, she listed everything that she does that makes her okay, knowing all of this was in the background. And that's what's sickening to me. Her mm-hmm. response to this article about to come out, and a response to Garcelle, when she made it seem like Garcelle, when all she had to say was, I just have a lot on my plate. This isn't about her. I just have a lot that I'm being thrown at right now. And for her This whole time, she's known what was in the pipeline. She knew what could be found out. There's no way they weren't honest with her at this point, because it wasn't Tom calling the shots anymore. It's now the lawyers being like, this is the defense. This is what you need to do. She's still protecting him. And she knows all this is in the pipeline. And she's listening. I have my brand and my makeup and my fin-. Again, remember, she has the makeup with the brand of cosmetics that literally markets that their mascara is so good. It's better than sex and I'm so waterproof. Yeah, exactly. But she didn't have that. Oh, you forgot. She had a whole makeup brand. Remember?
Your brain.
She had a makeup brand. Remember? It was a big deal with Too Faced. It was in Ulta at the front door, right next to Kylie Jenner. And it's with Too Faced, who makes the mascara better than sex. Their job is waterproof. In fact, the tube itself has embezzled water on it. It has teardrops on it. Because it's that good. But she didn't have any that day. Crazy, because it liquidated from the store. So I don't know where it went. I'd imagine Mikey left something in the back, but didn't have any. So like, she's listing everything, the books and the Fenty drops from that. And she has all these things. And she's like, I'm going to be okay. I'm tough. Like $9,000 a month rent, I can manage. I'm like, you're truly not that concerned. You're really not.
Talk about how these women are acting like she's living in one of the shacks from Winter's
Crystal
Zone.
Isn't. Crystal literally was like, stop it. This is a really nice house. That,
she is living in my dream home. Hello? Like that little cabana out back, the wallpaper in the bathroom. Girl. Like that is my exact aesthetic. That is, I will work my whole life to end up in that house. Ask, believe, receive.
I'm living in a house that costs $4,000 a month. Pinch me. I'm dreaming. Oh my God. I'm lavish. I'm like, listen, I am the housewife now. Bitches. But like, so we kind of end the episode with even Garcelle being like, I asked her flat out if there was a third party, because to me, when we saw that episode of Garcelle telling her, like, listen, I was at a store, they said that, you know, he had lunch with a 60-year-old blonde woman, that was a perfect out if it were true. But I honestly believe Erica's calculated enough to remember that and be like, oh, I have a in with that. We can find someone. And found someone to pin it on. And it got debunked. It's been debunked by Reddit threads and other threads. Tracy Morrissey has a whole highlight on it on her Instagram if you want to go and figure out why that Trisha A. Bigelow is like bullshit. That didn't happen. She went deep up to the cell towers of like Singular and like AT&T and shit. Thank you, Tracy. But Sutton, I mean, Garcelle's like, I asked her and she said no. Like, why would she lie about that? Because she's trying to, she says things to some people and not to other people. And that is the problem. And then we pretty much end with Sutton having a little meeting of everyone. And she gets straight to the meat and potatoes. Like, everybody else is getting cocktails and giving pleasantries. And she's like, I declare, I do not want anything to do with her while she's dealing with this.
Now, I don't know what astrological sign Sutton is, but she gives me big Virgo energy of like, you know, she was at home pacing around being like, we are going to be implicated in this shit. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know to what extent, but I am not going to court for this woman. And I am holding a meeting and I am telling everybody, no, I will not participate in this narrative anymore.
She absolutely was saying that. And she is a Virgo.
Is she?
Yeah, she was born September 20th. Virgo in September 22nd. She's a Virgo. That's so funny. Like, that was nice, right on the money.
I'm not good for much, but I am good for some weird astrological connection.
Do you know what I am? What do you get?
Moni, I know you're a Taurus. You are like the poster child of a Taurus. Are you kidding me?
I never know what gives it away. People always tell me that. I'm just like, I don't know, girl. It sounds
right. The best is that you are a Taurus, because I actually heard this conversation, you and Ryan Bailey, because I have a photographic and auditory memory. But you guys talked about how you don't understand how your Taurus is. And I'm like, this is the most Taurus conversation ever of you guys just proving how your Taurus is, but being like, I don't know. I don't like buy into all that, but let me list 17 ways I am a Taurus.
Listen, I think it's just like, we just look at everyone else like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, everybody has some weird emotional connection to things, and we can kind of compartmentalize and be like, there's a time and a place, and it's not with me ever, girl. Like, I truly don't know when people cry. I'm just like, I'm sorry. Like, really stressful for me. Like, it's harder on you, but I have empathy. I'm just like, I'm a rational person. Like, do you want the solution? Like, when my fiance like comes home from like work and like, complains, I'm just like, do you want a solution? I'll just
fix it.
What
is her sign?
She's a Gemini.
Gemini's unit.
Yeah, hey, so they do very well together.
We
do
well together.
And that's why you're always back on this show. And that is why I always want to have you here.
And I'm sorry, I know you're trying to wrap us up. I know that you want to spend time with your fiance, but
do I?
We need to circle back to dinner, in which Kathy Hilton tries to bring up the colorblind comment and makes a very strange reference to Michael Jackson. That whole dinner, like, I truly have gotten a butt workout, a Brazilian donkey booty who.
Oh, no, because now we have to talk about Dorit.
I know, my fave.
Same. And what's funny is that Garcelle went instantly where I went, because I said, wait, is she talking about her nannies?
Do you think this is the start of the Garcelle and Dorit feud? Because they said it comes out of left field. You think this is the start where Dorit feels like Garcelle was trying to come at her?
Someone even posted, they were like, Dorit's fucking grateful that Erica's on some criminal shit. Because otherwise, you'd be looking at her hella sideways. She's like, I don't see color. And Sutton's like, listen, I'm out of it. And Kyle even was like, no, I understand. Like, it's important to do it. Because Garcelle's like, I would love to live in a... We all would. Do you understand? I'd love to. But she's like, before any other part of me makes it that you would find impressive, which is all respectability politics, my blackness shows up first. You can't help it. It just is what it is. You get to judge who you treat me based on that alone. And then Dorit's like, my children, not her, her children have, they've loved very deeply dark skinned people.
And you know, this is what happens, Monty. I put them in my top five and then they just show their ass on television. And it is my reckoning to come on this podcast when one of them has just made a total fool of themselves. It just, it's what happens every time I come
on. No, but you have the best idea. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you have the best thought that I've ever heard. Don't stand anyone. Have a rotating five. When someone gets injured, let them rehab in the corner and Dorit then bring someone else out.
Yeah, Dorit's taking a timeout. She's on the bench for next episode for me. She's gonna take five. She's gotta recoup from that, because I was horrified by all of that. And
oh, we didn't even get to the good part.
The fact that she said, okay, she said the most white person thing ever of why you're not racist, of but I have a black friend. But she took it further.
Yes.
She added a level of a degree of a separation that it wasn't her that had a black friend. It was her mother. I'm like, Dorit, at least make it your friend in the story. Like, at least make it yours.
So, fun fact for people, at my trilogy of movies, my favorite three movies of all time, I can watch them whenever they come on, is The Devil Wears Prada, Legally Blonde, and Mean Girls, in that order. Honorary fourth, like honorary third, like almost tied, is Bring It On, All or Nothing. Yes, I love the Gabrielle Union one because I love anything that Gabrielle Union does. She's freaking iconic. But and also the fact that she was so grown when Kristen Dunst was so young, it is nuts, because she looks like she could easily be in high school. Anyways, it's my random soapbox. I love Gabrielle Union so much. Honorary is Bring It On, All or Nothing, the one with Solange and Hayden Panettiere. Not the best of acting, but it's good to me. Young me loved it. Young adolescent me. There's a moment where Brittany, the Hayden Panettiere character, is at South Crenshaw in LA high school, and says, and they're like, oh, she's probably racist. She goes, I'm not racist. Some of my mom's best friends live next door to black people. And it is, it stays in my head rent free. And it's what I instantly thought of like, it's not me. It's other people that I know though, that have black people in their lives. Because at first it was the kids. And you know what I found weird? And that she didn't try to just like relate to her friendship with Garcelle at the table. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't think it would have been better, but it could have been like, well, like, I want to have a relationship with you. And I think we have a friendship and I don't see it as anything other than I've connected with you. That is the response. I find a connection with you. If you're going to make the argument, I don't see color. But if you're not going to do it well, then yes, you absolutely put the pin on the children and the mother.
This is my thing. So this is near Christmas time of 2020.
Yes.
So even if, let's just look at it in a time stamp of the resurgence of the Black Lives Matter movement happened in June of 2020. This is 6 months where the baseline, first lesson 101 is we see color. And these women acted like it was also not even just lesson 101, but this was literally a storyline from earlier in the season. And you didn't learn from your castmates' mistakes. Just shut the fuck up.
Kyle did. They both were like, I learned. Just one friendly reminder, I already got it. And Sutton's like, nope, zip it up, saying nothing. Like, and I'm just like, here we go. But like, and Kathy is like, you know what? And she's just like, but what do we expect from someone who discovered Ruth Chris on camera? Now that I believe, I do believe she probably doesn't frequent chain restaurants. So why would she freaking know Ruth Chris?
She was very much about that potato salad. She pushed it on many a people.
Yeah, the sweet potato like salad casserole thing. I get it. But everybody got burgers. I'm like, all y'all got burgers from Ruth Chris? That doesn't make sense to me.
This is when Kathy's messiness, she played this one wrong because she was trying to do it to bring up, she was trying to be a sniper on the side to Sutton to re-bring up that I don't see color argument. Mm-hmm. But in doing so, she told on herself.
It like she was trying,
right? Like somehow she, I mean, it still made for a moment. I wouldn't say good television, but it made for a moment. But I think she was trying to stir up shit and then she accidentally definitely told on herself because she did look shocked. Like she cocked her head like, wait, tell me more about this. I'm like, oh my God, Kathy.
But I love that Garcelle had to ask, like, are all the people in your house, like that are people of color, the help? Like valid question. It's a valid question. She's like,
there was a pregnant pause before that. Mm-hmm. No.
She's like, even my mom, like she had to really comb through. And I'm like, that is something that I think people have to understand is that there are, I'm not saying it's you, whoever's listening, or Oh No Bravo or anybody else, but it doesn't, just because it's not you, there are a lot of white people that can go their entire life without being friends or being in circles or in spaces that are not diverse. Look at Ramona's 50 girlfriends. It is so easy. It's easier than you think. However, there is almost no time that a person of color doesn't have to be in a space that is predominantly white. Mm-hmm. It's just the facts, which is why it's impossible so you don't see color, because if you go from having an all white friend group to being somewhere you see a black person, you're going to see the difference, because mm-hmm. it's going to, your experience is shaped by what you've encountered and you haven't experienced it. So.
And it's, yeah, I think in like my personal life, I think back to like my elementary and middle school and just the way in which, I mean, segregation still exists. Like there, the districting of schools exists. Like I very much was in a bubble for many years of my life. And then, yeah, if you don't like experience other things and start to make friends with other people, you can go your whole life without even questioning as a white person, like, these wedding photos are pretty white. That's strange. You know, like I look back at some of my wedding photos. I'm like, interesting. Okay.
Honey,
you
know mine won't be. Mine's going to be a whole rainbow because y'all are all going to be there. You'll make sure.
Especially
of
me.
It.
I'm going to wear a rainbow wig to your wedding.
Should I make it a no cameras affair? Should we go really like J-Lo of it all?
Well,
like,
after the week I've had, perhaps, but that's a story for another day.
Or it's a story for your Patreon. Would you lovely Would you love to tell the people where they can listen to this story of why we're going very incognito?
Sure. So I'm not going to talk about it publicly, but if you are curious why I am private on Instagram and why my Instagram lives are unfortunately discontinued for the foreseeable future, you can check out my most recent episode, patreon.com/ohnobravo. I had a really fucking weird week, so I'm sorry if this recap was particularly unhinged, but talking with Monty is part of my self-care. So
yes,
I am both having a mental breakdown, but also feeling very, very full and enlightened and happy having some girl time. So thank you for having me on, Lonnie.
Thank you so much for being here, y'all. Please go and subscribe to the Patreon and do whatever it takes to get Ohno Bravo back on the interwebs. So somebody done fucked it up. I don't know who, but I'm mad. So yes, please go and subscribe and support her and everything. You know where to find me on all the things at Mixing with Monty, MixingWithMani. Again, thank y'all so much for the love and support with you know, my mental health and everything, because it has been truly a struggle. But y'all, I think that we're gonna be okay. Some stresses have been alleviated. I finally did get placed for student teaching, and I passed another praxis exam for my student for my teaching license. I'm now 3 out of 6 done, and I actually finished my master's coursework yesterday, so I'm officially done my master's degree. Just gotta wait for it all to get done and graduate, honey. So thank you for all the support and for everything y'all do to listen, to help for free, for other things, for subscribing to the Patreon and everything like that. Really appreciate it. We have lots more things coming up. I'm covering the Bachelorette finale on the Patreon. I'm doing first episode of Atlanta on the Patreon next week. So many other things. So just thank you for listening and for being here. And if you don't like me, you hated this, go listen to someone you do. That is the nicest thing you could possibly do at this point, because I'm already at wit's end, so please don't make it worse. No, I'll just simply be like, you know what, you're right, I'll give it up, because trust me, thought about it every day this week.
No, I don't know.
It's not a loose thread anymore. But y'all, take care of yourselves and each other, please. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay home. Bye.
For more about me, Bravo, Housewives, pop culture, and so much more, follow me on Instagram at Mixing with Monty, MixingWithMani, so you can keep up with me. And don't forget to also leave a quick review on Apple Podcasts, if that's where you're listening, and rate me and maybe give me 5 stars. Thanks so much. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.